Assalamu alaikum and welcome to Bumper to Bumper. It's another very, very good Friday. With me in, not in studio, but I'm very used to saying with me in studio. I miss the studio though. I do. It's a very different day. But with me as always is Ziad. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Brother Jamil, how are you this evening?
I'm doing very well. Today was a busy but like a nice day. It was just like it was. I think even if I woke up and I didn't know what day it is, it just felt like a Friday.
Okay.
Did you not feel it?
I don't know, it was quite a busy week.
Is it?
Yeah.
Well, quite a busy week indeed in terms of motoring as well. What's it, 3 models launched in 1 week?
Yes.
So
back to back. We couldn't be everywhere.
Exactly. So we were splitting it up and Ziad was arriving late for once. It was Ziad and not me. But yeah, talk to us there about which 3 vehicles were launched this week.
So we had the Honda Elevate, mm-hmm. Which we both couldn't make. the GW M Tank 300.
Yes.
And then the Volvo EX30. But before that, Kingsley Hallgate was also leaving for another expedition. So that was another whole media day. So quite a busy motoring week.
Yeah, so big news in terms of motoring. Let's start with the one that we couldn't get, but we've got all the information for our listeners. It's the Honda Elevate, right? So Honda Elevate is what, what can you tell us about it?
So the Honda Elevate is basically, it's a 1.5 liter engine that you're looking at. There's 2 trims. They've got the Comfort manual and they've got the Elegant CVT, mm-hmm. Okay? We're looking at it looks a little bit like a Suzuki, okay. Like a Toyota Urban Cruiser, yeah. Type 5.
Is it that size as well?
It's a compact family SUV.
Okay.
So if you know that size, it's that size basically. So like I said, it's a 1.5 liter engine producing about 89 kilowatts. It's an iVTEC petrol engine.
Okay,
they claim 6.1 liters. We didn't drive it, so we don't know. So they say that it's about 4.3 meters long, 1.8 wide and 1.6 tall. It's got about 17. It's got 17 inch alloy wheels for the elegance grade and 16 inch for the comfort.
Okay.
The luggage capacity is 458 liters. They've got nice LED front fog lights. Obviously we're going to have to test it.
Just based on the pictures, what did you think of the car? Like you said, we haven't driven it, we haven't seen it in the flesh. But just based on the pictures, what did you think? I thought it was like a neat looking SUV, compact crossover SUV. And like you say, I did get a bit of that Suzuki vibes from it. But
I liked it because it's not what Honda has been for a while.
Yeah.
I haven't really liked the shapes of the new Hondas. Mm-hmm. And for me, even though they went the Suzuki Toyota look, mm-hmm. I think it looked nice. The interior as well looked a little bit old school Honda,
yeah.
You know. Mm-hmm. I think it looks quite nice.
Okay. So that's the Honda Elevate. Obviously, we don't have much to say about it. We couldn't attend, unfortunately. The next up was a vehicle I quite liked when I saw at Festival of Motoring. That's the GWM Tank. That's the one Ziad was there from the very start till the very end. Ziad took us through this beast of an off-road machine that comes from China.
It is quite a beast. I was seriously impressed by this vehicle. So we know the Chinese have kind of penetrated the SUV market now. They're not really in the off-road, and I mean they have a few vehicles that can go off-road 4x4, but they
are
haven't.
You talking
really,
about the Beijing?
Yeah, the bike.
Okay.
But this vehicle for me is like the right package.
Okay.
It's the right size. It's got the right engine. It's got the right features.
The vehicle is very, very impressive. I think it's about 260 kilowatts, if I'm not mistaken.
It's, I think combined is 255.
255.
Yeah, 255. So it's 180 kilowatts for the petrol, and then for the electric, it's an extra 70. Yeah, I call it 78.
Okay. And looks-wise, I thought it was quite a good-looking vehicle. The model that they had on display at festival, we were obviously allowed to copy and check it out and whatever. The quality looked pretty decent. Is it still?
It's premium.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, like I'm saying, it's got the comfort. It's got the premium feel to it. It even I knocked everywhere to check. You know, it's not cheap. So yeah, it's a solid car.
And okay, so we know something about all the Chinese manufacturers. It's probably laden with tech and a whole lot of features. Anything stand out for you in terms of the tech, whether it's off-road or just normal features, day-to-day?
So like you say, they have a lot of tech, premium tech features, like, you know, your sashi camera, chassis camera, where you can actually see, you know, when going off-road and stuff.
So do you mean like underneath the
camera? Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's
so you've got all, you know, like all round view of where you're going, what you're doing and everything. So that, you know, is a premium feature.
Yes.
You see it in the premium vehicles.
The Range Rover should have that, I think.
The Mercedes has it as well. But I mean, we're talking cars over a million.
Yes.
Right? I'm going to get to the price of this vehicle. But yeah, there wasn't really that was like a standout feature. But the Chinese always, like you say, they have the tech. So there's a lot of stuff happening.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's a bit much. I like my car to be user-friendly and easy to... I mean, for example, I didn't know where the hazards were.
Okay.
You know, it looks nice. Everything looks nice. And obviously, once you start getting to know the car, it gets much better. But, I mean, I was overtaking a vehicle. I was trying to thank him. You know, our usual, we press the hazards to thank. And I couldn't find the hazard, so I was rude.
Okay, so you just basically nudged him off the road and carried on.
Yeah. But a powerful engine. It's a 2-liter engine.
Okay.
Okay. So this is
a HEV. Oh, okay.
Yeah. So it's paired with a electric motor.
So I'm assuming it's very light in fuel then.
That's another thing about the Chinese vehicles is that fuel consumption is very high.
So even with this being
a hybrid electric vehicle. Yeah.
So even with it being a hybrid, it's still fuel wise it's still
so they claim, I think it was 9.5 liters, right?
Okay.
Which is still a bit high considering it's a HEV. I couldn't get it down past, say, 11.6.
That's a big difference.
Even with cruise control going on 120, we travel from Modimolle all the way down to Credo.
Right.
So I was just, you know, like,
yes.
There was a straight, on the N1 straight. I couldn't get it lower than 11.
And in terms of actual off-road capability, like, I mean, the features are there, but like, how does it handle
off-road capabilities? Now that is where it stands out for me.
Okay.
Because this car is very, very capable. So we took it to DeVult 4x4 Experience Center. That's just outside of Cradle, that side of the world.
It's very close to Hartkissen, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And we took it all over.
So you did the actual course with it?
Yes.
Yeah?
We went up the inclines, 30 degree inclines. We did the rock crawls. We, went into those, what's those ditches called?
That's what it's called.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. And it performed brilliantly. I mean, I wasn't at all worried, that I'm going to get stuck or this car's going to slip or...
So one thing I think this vehicle will give rise to is accessories. I think it's a vehicle that begs to be kitted out, front runner this and snorkel.
It's funny that you say that. There was the medic had a car that was kitted out, so with the roof racks, and he had I think a different set of rims as well, with these all-terrain tires. So this doesn't come with all-terrain tires. That was the only thing for me.
Okay.
But I mean, it's still without the all-terrain tires, and I think there was 18-inch rims in there, if I'm not mistaken. It was fine.
Okay.
That's perfect. The ground clearance is quite substantial. It's about 2.40. Yeah.
Sure, that's very good. I mean, if you look at the average, you're looking at about 2.1, 2.10. I think it generally is 2.10.
Yeah, so I think, and then obviously you've got your ambient lighting, you know, all the extra features. They said there was a massage function. I couldn't find it.
Okay.
It's got a sunroof as well. Normal sunroof, just tilt and slide. And yeah, there's safety features as well. There's a lot of things happening, like I said. So there's all these little noises that come on. Please take your key out. You know, phone is charging. There's wireless charging as well.
So before you even get, you said a lot of noises. What is the indicator sound like? What is this? Because I don't know since when, like, TikTok is like not cool anymore.
So the indicator doesn't make a noise. Well, when the signal comes on, so once you put the signal down, that's the indicator, there's no clicking noise to know that it's engaged.
So you mean like basically when you set the indicator?
Yes.
Okay.
And when it comes off, there's no...
Okay, I get you.
Yeah. Indication that it's, you know, engaged or disengaged. But the ticking noise is there. It just carries on forever. I don't know, like, if that's, like, a thing now.
Okay. That's odd.
Yeah. But I mean, this, like I say, there's nothing really that that you can say against the car. It's more stuff getting used to than stuff that I would say is wrong with the car.
So the only drawback, from what I gather, is maybe fuel consumption?
Yeah. The luggage space is ample. There's like, I think, like over 400 liters. You drop the seats, you're getting over 1,000 liters. There's a 12-volt port there in the back as well.
Okay.
So, I mean, you know, it's got everything. The torque is like 640 newton meters. So, I mean,
so
you have
to fairly decently. And in terms of colors and customization and stuff, is there,
they don't mind you know, like going to Front Runner and doing all these things. They are approved.
But is there no accessories from them that
not at the moment?
Okay.
But yeah, so they. In terms of colors, there's some nice colors. There's the orange one that we drove. I drove a red one as well. You know, like standout colors.
Okay.
So
I particularly like the design of it. I am also very excited to drive one. And then, yeah, well, that brings us to lastly the...
Also then the price. Oh, that's the last thing. So
then, that was actually the best part about it.
The best part is... that it starts from 725,950.
That's a lot of cars, that much, eh?
Yeah, it is.
Mm. Like you say, most of the competitors are well over R1 million, like, in terms of what you're getting, the size of the vehicle, and its off-road capabilities.
Yeah, the top of the range, you're looking at not even 900, it's like 850,000 for the top of the range.
An SUV with that sort of capabilities, I promise you, it actually sounds cheap.
It is very cheap, because if you think about it, with the premium features that it has, you know, the sort of market that it's trying to compete in, it actually doesn't have any competitors at the moment.
I was just going to ask you, what vehicle, like...
There is nothing, because, I mean, the next in line with that would be double the price of it.
Jeep and your, that's very true.
So, yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah, so you talk us through the Volvo EX30.
Yeah, so that was something very exciting. It's obviously a fully electric vehicle. It's what I deem a small SUV, but when I say small, it's very usable on a daily basis. There's ample space for, you know, boot luggage and stuff like that. I think really standout features on the vehicle is the fact that the top of the range, which is the dual motor, right, is actually Volvo's fastest accelerating car. So that's so crazy, because it's an SUV. So it does 0 to 100 in, I think, 3.6 seconds.
Yeah.
That's an SUV, that's really, really proper. But there's really some, call it, standout features and facts about the vehicle.
Well, I like that they... they removed all the speakers and now have one sound bar, so you've got extra space on the doors.
Yes.
They've got upcycled material. I think they use denim for the upholstery.
Yes, yes. So, firstly, the interior of the vehicle, there's some absolutely stunning options. If you look at it, right, it's like very minimalist. It's like a contemporary design, modern, you know, that sort of thing. But the finishes in it are just absolutely amazing. You know, from the way the cup holders open to, so the glove box, you actually open it using the touchscreen. It's like everything is just clean, classy. And the reason they actually did a sound bar in this vehicle, which is really powerful, they gave us a demo, is the fact that there's no wires and it's just like made for that car. But some other fact, right? You can get up to 480 kilometers range on the vehicle.
That's very good.
Yeah, on a charge, that's excellent. Another very interesting fact is it takes about 26 minutes to charge the battery from 10% to 80.
Sure.
So that's a game changer. I mean, 26 minutes is the time you can have lunch, you can have your vehicle ready.
But is now that on standard charge at home or what charge?
So I would assume so, because they just put it there.
So if I take it to Mall of Africa, I'm charging it at 5 minutes.
Well, substantially low. But you'll notice all of these electric cars, like the fully electric, they charge till about 80 to 90%, and then that last 10% is like, maybe it's a trickle charge or a slow charge.
No, just a very slow charge.
Yeah, so that last 10%
will really take you like an extra hour.
Exactly.
It does.
Exactly. So, then I told you that 0 to 100 in the dual motor is 3.6 seconds, which is amazing if you look at. I'm not going to say the design of the vehicle, but just the size and the shape. I mean, 3.6 seconds is, I'm going to say even supercar territory. Porsches and, you know, like that sort of very purpose-designed vehicles. And this is just an SUV. And just talking about the design, I think it's one of the better-looking electric vehicles.
It is.
Okay, I don't know. This is very gimmicky from Volvo, but I just thought it was so cool. Did you see the lights when you walk towards the car?
Oh yes, the welcome lights.
Yeah, so it's a welcome.
Winks.
The vehicle winks at you. I mean, I know it's gimmicky and I know it has no purpose, but like if you look at all these vehicles, lighting is not lighting anymore. It's like actually a little. It's an extension of the design. It goes into, it shows you what the vehicle is like capable of in terms of tech. And I mean, the rear lights also, it's like the bars, it's like a loading bar, the way it does it up, down, it's absolutely stunning. And something that's, I mean, Volvo is known to be premium and all these things. Something that really surprised me was the price of this vehicle, because if you're looking at a single motor, it's 775,900. I promise you that's not a lot of money for a fully electric vehicle of this size.
So that is the cheapest electric vehicle SUV in South Africa at the moment.
That is very correct. That is very correct. So yeah, I've got the pricing. The one that's 775, it's a 200 kilowatt, 0 to 105.7 seconds. The most expensive, which is obviously the desirable one based on the 0 to 100 time of 3.6 seconds. This is basically 995,900. So we're still under the million rand mark for a vehicle that's so premium. There's a host of safety features. I didn't memorize the spec sheet, but I know the one that's quite interesting is the vehicle has a sensor, right? If you're trying to open your door, it senses something like a cyclist, pedestrian, anything, the door won't open.
It's called ESA.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay, I understand why you remember that. But like, I mean, that's something so useful. I mean, especially like Europe and stuff like that. Like, there's, like, you share the road.
Well, no, they have very, well. Yeah, very, I mean, Volvo is known for safety features. Mm-hmm. So they've just really upped their game in terms of this. And I think this particular vehicle is obviously the concept we call the prototype for the vehicles going forward.
Yes.
And yeah, like you say, you've got the full package, the twin motor, which is obviously like the art design of the electric vehicle. Mm-hmm. It's under a million.
Under a million rand, they come with a 12.3 3-inch screen. But you know, it's just one of those vehicles where you need to probably drive it to really, really appreciate it, because that's where the whole thing comes on, you know.
Well, there's already, I think, a waiting list, but people have pre-ordered, and it's probably about 150 people that have already pre-ordered the vehicle.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Sure. Okay. So, yeah, but I mean, look at it. It's firstly from a big brand,
yeah,
a prestigious brand. It's a good vehicle, and yeah, I mean, it suits the price. But you know what? Talking about Isa, right? I wanted to bring Isa into this, but you know, it's a Friday, right? So I'm not sure. As parents, we normally sit on a Friday night and think, okay, what are we doing with our kids this weekend? It's like a standard. Are you just going to sit at home? And then obviously, you know, there's all these things where you're trying to limit screen time and you're trying to get them out and active, because let's face it, we live very indoor lives, very, you know, like static and all these things. So naturally you want to go out and take your kids out to experience and be active and all of that. I've got something amazing. Have you heard of Acro Branch?
Yes.
You have?
Yes.
Have you done it?
Yeah, I've done it.
Really? And?
I did the one in Melrose.
Oh, okay. So before you tell me which one, explain to the listeners, what is Acro Branch?
Okay, so Acro Branch is an obstacle course, basically.
But?
But it's like up in the air.
So a lot of it is happening. So
it's like between, it's like between trees, like there's obstacles between trees. Like it starts off quite easy, where you have to like not walk a tightrope, but walk a what's these things called? Like a planked.
It's like a bridge, isn't it?
Like a bridge, yeah.
Yeah.
But it's up in the air. But a lot of it uses a lot of your strength. Mostly upper body strength, because you like not swinging between trees, but you, yeah, you actually you do. There's one of the things that you have to swing from one tree to the other. But yeah, it's quite fun. It's quite what's the word?
Challenging.
Yeah, challenging.
So talking about challenging, the nice part about Acro Branch is there's actually different levels and different courses. So you can choose, I'm not sure what they are, but let's say, for example, the green course is obviously easier than the yellow, or higher, or less. You didn't know that. You went to the main one.
I don't know, yeah.
And then another nice thing is they've got a separate course completely for kids. My daughter, Noura, absolutely loved it. It has a whole bunch of different obstacles, like swings, tire swings, and like Zia is saying, like bridges and, you know, things to step across. It's really good for their skills, number one. It's good for activity, it keeps them. And there's also an element of appreciating nature, because they've got 11 parks in South Africa,
okay,
which is really nice, because there's going to be a park near you. But the nice thing is they're all centered around like very lush areas. And, you know, the one that I've been to and kind of frequent is the one in Irini, Red Barn.
Okay.
But if all of this is not reason enough to go out and have a blast, have a really awesome adventure at Acro Branch, they've also given us a promo code, which if you book on the website and use the promo code Acro FYA20, you get 20% off your booking.
Wow.
So the promo code is Acro, as in ACRO FYA20. So it's Acro, find your adventure, 20.
Okay.
So go out, have a blast. With the money you save from there, you can afford to do something else. Maybe do a second Acro Branch, or take your neighbor's kids with or something. But honestly, I think that's what I'm going to do. Every Friday, let's plug an activity for the weekend, because like I'm saying, it's that time, man. You're sitting on a Friday, like, what am I going to do this weekend? And I don't like to waste weekends, personally, because you don't get them again.
Oh, definitely. No, and that's something very nice for the kids to know. So use the promo code ACROFYA20 to book at on the website. They're on social media as well.
They're on social media, Acro Branch. They're on their website, is www.acrobranch.co.za. And they've also got a central phone number, which is 021-201-1121.
Okay.
Cool. Let's go for an air break, Zara. When we come back, we've got
Talon Knight.
We've got
Talon Knight from Audi. She's going to tell our listeners all about what Audi has in store for us this year. So that's after the break. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome back to Bumper to Bumper. With us on the line is Taryn Knight from Audi South Africa. She's the head of marketing, product and PR. Good evening, Taryn. How are you this evening?
Hi, I'm very well, thank you. Thanks for having me. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Taryn, we heard that there's quite exciting news coming out from Audi South Africa this year. Please, could you share some of that with us?
Well, I'd love to. Yes, we've got quite a bit happening. In the next 2 weeks, we are launching a collection of special edition models. They're called the Black Edition and Urban Edition, and those are available on the A3 range, on the A4, Q2, and our Q3 and Q2 Sportback. So quite a nice collection coming, a lot of variety, great packages for styling trumpet on those vehicles. And then a bit later this year, we're going to be adding the A5 Special Edition and Q5 Black Edition to that range of vehicles. So we're really excited about that. And then perhaps for the performance junkies out there, we have an incredibly exciting model coming. It's an RS6 GT. It's the last that we're going to see of these performance models with internal combustion engines. Only 660 of these vehicles were made or are going to be made, and South Africa is lucky enough to be getting one of these vehicles. So we've got something very exciting that will be lined up for that particular.
Darren, sorry, I just want to find out. You said South Africa is lucky enough to get one. Who decided that we get one?
So has that vehicle already been sold? Is it just going to be delivered now?
No, it hasn't. But we'll reveal more information in the middle of the year in terms of what we'll be doing with that vehicle. But it has not been sold yet. It will be very much up for grabs.
Okay. And tell us, you spoke about the Urban and the Black Edition. What can customers look forward to in terms of those editions that are coming out?
So these editions have got styling and specific styling features and comfort features that stand out from the rest of the range. We found that the black styling package has been very popular, and some customers have chosen it as an option on the vehicle. So what we decided to do is combine that as a package together with some other features to make specific models and they build Audi Assured offers for customers to go around the vehicle. So it's quite exciting, and in terms of the campaign for this, what's quite excited about is we're using generative AI to inspire other lifestyle elements that are based on these vehicles. So that's something that's coming out, and we're quite excited about using the technology in the generation of this campaign in a way that hasn't been done in South Africa before. So it's a really exciting conversation around this product that we're bringing to market.
Okay. Taryn, a few days ago I was at the Audi Center in Rivonia, and they have on the floor quite a lot of petrol vehicles and no diesel vehicles anymore. Are Audi not bringing any diesel vehicles into South Africa, or?
We absolutely do have diesel vehicles available. In fact, we are introducing a diesel engine in our Q3 range later this year. So, but there are diesel engines available in our other products as well. So the Q5 is very, very popular with
Yes, talking about the future of electric, I must thank you guys for your big investment into the electric chargers all over, especially the one at Mall of Africa. But it, actually, anywhere that I went to charge, there was Audi stations at Kai Lami Corner, Mall of Africa. You know, quite a few malls have them. What are the EV vehicles that are coming up in the next year or so that our listeners could look forward to?
Well, thank you so much for that. It's been over 50 million rand that we've invested in charging infrastructure, and for us, that what excites us about that is the various locations we've placed them in has increased the adoption of electric vehicles in general in South Africa, because customers start to realize that it really is convenient to charge new vehicles everywhere. And it is our belief that South Africa should be participating in the best automotive technology that the world has to offer. So, you know, facilitating that through charging infrastructure has been one of our contributions the most proud of and excited about. So we currently still have our RSE20T, our flagship model, which generates a lot of excitement wherever those models appear. We sold out trunk and e-tron sold back. That section has been fantastic. And we're investigating other models for later this year. I'm not going to share any details at this stage, but we will be communicating as those come. So watch this space.
Okay, very well.
No, thanks so much, Darren. We really appreciate the insight you're giving us into Audi and the plans for South Africa. Like I said, the RS6, the GT was something that I have really researched, and I'm just really excited about it. It's one of those things, like you mentioned, you know, like true petrol heads would really get all excited about the 4-liter, well, let's call it an S-state that does that sort of 0 to 100, I think it's like 3.3 seconds. But Darren, before we leave you, we actually we ran something on our social media, and I thought it would be an interesting question to ask you. When and who taught you how to drive?
Sorry, can you say that again?
I'm saying, when did you learn how to drive, and who was the person who taught you? Did you go the traditional route of like a driving school, or was it someone very patient like your father?
My father taught me to drive, and it was in an empty abandoned parking lot on a Sunday.
Okay.
I think you'll all remember by a good old hypermarket on the East Rand. That's where I grew up, and my father taught me to drive in an empty parking lot, and I'm very grateful for that memory.
Yes.
He passed when I was 21, and so he didn't get to see me join the automotive industry, and I think he would have been quite thrilled.
Yes.
He's the kind of cars that I just drive today.
100%. I think you know what, it just in its form, I mean, it's something that's just so nostalgic. It's a memory that will never leave you. And
Taryn, before you go, I actually have one more question. Jamil is over the moon with this RS6 GT. But I was fortunate enough to go on the Audi driving experience last year. Jamil hasn't been on it yet. Is it still available for customers this year? And what is the process?
Absolutely, yeah. The RS6 Performance and the RS7 Performance models that we launched last year are available still, and they will remain available. And the Audi driving experience is back this year. We're going to have some sessions back at Kai Lami Grand Prix Circuit. We're really excited about that. We'll be revealing the dates that are going to be available in a couple of months' time on the website. So, you know, don't forget to visit the website and register your interest, but you can let you know as soon as the dates are available, and you can access that through audi.co.za.
Thank you very much, Taryn, and thank you so much for joining us this evening and sharing all that insight with us. Have a lovely evening.
Yeah, thanks, Jamil. It's great chatting to you guys.
Awesome.
Thanks.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Devin. Chat soon.
Take care. Cheers. Bye.
Bye. So that was Taryn Knight from Audi South Africa, the head of marketing, product and PR, and she's just told us there's quite a few vehicles coming this year. Mm-hmm. Exciting. We haven't seen a lot of vehicles in the last few years from Audi, and it's good to hear that they're back with a bang. Obviously, they released a few vehicles just during COVID, so, you know, never really took off. Not took off, but I mean,
it was kind of overshadowed by what was going on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm glad to hear that they're back. I'm excited to see. And I mean, you obviously, the RS6 is on your mind the whole day.
But you know, I've always liked that RS4, RS6.
Yeah. It's by the way, it's not in a status in the font.
You know what? I was like, what is the word? Because first time I say stationary, I know Audi people hate if you say stationary. It's not.
Yes.
It's not. It's in a vine. But for everyone else, it's a station wagon. But really, what a beautiful car. It's one, like, it's there's going to be one inside.
But I'm so excited it's not sold. I thought it was sold.
And why are you going to buy it?
It's like 3 million or something.
That's not bad for a one-off vehicle.
Yeah, exactly.
In 1 year's time, it's going to be 6 million.
But that's what I'm saying. If there's only one available, and you know you're going to be driving that one vehicle in South Africa.
So are you going to buy it?
I'm going to bid. They're probably going to bid it.
I think so.
I think they can auction it off.
Yeah. So are you gonna bid?
I'll have to sell all my kidneys and everything.
So yeah, as you heard, we asked Darren a very interesting question that we also posted on CII's social media.
And our own social media,
but it was a very simple question. We realized the listeners of Bumper to Bumper love to get personal.
Nostalgic,
okay, fine. Ziad,
yes.
Let me ask this question to you.
Yes.
Tell me about your experience learning how to drive. Who taught you, where, when, okay. How old were you?
After the break, we'll come back and we'll discuss everything. But in the meantime, people can WhatsApp who taught them how to drive.
Yes.
What was their experience? And the WhatsApp line is 084-494-7000. After the break, we're going to be talking all about who taught you to drive and what the experience was. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome back to Bumper to Bumper. If you missed the first 3/4 of the show, you missed quite a bit.
Today was a fast-paced show. I think there was a lot that we spoke about.
Yeah.
New model launches, what to do with your kids this weekend, important information from Taryn
from Audi.
Regarding new models that are coming out, and also the absolutely potent RS6 GT. Oh, I think we need to buy it for CII.
You think so? Yes. Maybe we can get it branded and everything. Yeah.
No. Did you not see the branding that the vehicle comes with? It comes with limited edition, like livery.
No, I know. Yeah.
Absolutely stunning.
Did you hear it though?
No.
You haven't heard it?
No.
Okay, I'm going to find a clip and
see if we can. Raw.
Yeah.
Does it sound like the thunder that's happening in the background?
Okay.
But look, now we're talking about something very
important.
Yeah, nostalgic, like you say. Zach, talk to me. Tell me about your experience, like learning how to drive. Firstly, how old were you?
So I got my learners. I think I was 17 or 18. What was the legal age? What is 16?
I think 17 for a vehicle. So you went like the legal route, like
learners.
Yeah,
17
and 18 for driver, 16 for motorbike. Right?
Okay, so yeah, so that's what I did. I got my learners, and then I think I started driving. I don't know if I had my learners yet, but my father used to take me. So my father used to be on the road a lot, so I used to go with him.
Okay.
Like to Northern Natal. You know, Ladysmith and all these places. And what he used to do was, he used to pull over to the side of the road and then, you know, let me, although, you know, it's quick, it's first to fifth gear, but I mean, it was more the confidence of being on the road.
Yes.
You know, changing the gears and, you know, building up that repertoire on the road, you know, steep clips, as they call it. And then on the weekends, we used to go to Pick and Pay Hyper by the Sea, I don't know if you know it, in Durban.
Yeah.
So obviously go in the parking lot and drive around in circles for hours and hours.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's why I can now reverse into a parking. So he taught me how to drive. We obviously, you know, father and son, you never see eye to eye. But I mean, at the end of the day,
so
I'm grateful. No, I'm grateful that he's probably listening now. He's like, but I'm grateful to him because he did teach me how to drive, and I am the driver. I wouldn't be where I am today. Drive, you know, these brands like Audi trusting us with their cars, performance cars and whatever it is, if he didn't put me through the paces.
Sure.
I went the route of going to a driving school just to get my license, not because I needed them to teach me how to drive.
Sure. Okay. So yours is, I get it.
Tell us yours.
Okay, before I tell you mine, let me read some of the responses we got, right, in social. So the first one says, my dad, he was patient, cool, and calm, and taught us good road habits. Okay, so this person is very lucky that their parent or their father was like very cool and calm. Are you the type of person that can learn like under pressure, or do you need it to be a situation like this?
It depends on the situation.
Okay.
Like I said, my father and I, obviously, you know, like, you know how fathers are.
That's pretty bad. Do you see yourself being different?
With my son? Already I am. I already teach. Like, he sits on my lap and we, you know, like, take the car to the garage or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Not the test vehicles. Our old vehicle. Yeah, so, you know. We're already starting, so I'm starting him young.
Okay.
And I will be very patient with him.
Okay. But like also Esau is like, he's, you know, he himself is very cool and calm.
Yeah.
You know? The next one says, I never did learn ever. 51 and regretting it ever so much.
Oh, shame.
Yeah, that's something, I don't know, like some people just, they don't want to learn. Some people don't have the opportunity to. But again, if you're saying 51 and regretting, it's never too late.
No, it's not.
That would also be a nice topic maybe for next week. What's the latest age you know someone who was, you know, determined to go and get your...
Well, my mother was in her 40s when she decided she wanted to start driving. It was just before she passed away.
Okay.
So, I mean, like, she was determined that she was going to start driving. And my father, again, was teaching her to drive.
Okay.
So maybe he was a good teacher.
But you know, the thing is, in today's day and age, it's a life skill.
Yeah.
In terms of, you don't want to think of it this way, but let's say something happens in the house and you need to rush someone to the hospital or whatever. You need to know how to drive. It's not a thing like before where it was just, oh, nice to hear, or, you know, it was like a fun thing to do. It's not like that.
Mm.
Another thing is, one driver, let's say you're embarking on a long journey, you get tired halfway, the passenger that's with you can't drive, you're forced to either stop or do something.
No, so that's why I'm grateful for my wife. She actually sent a message. She said she learned with Pearl's driving school.
Okay.
It was down in Durban.
Right.
There were many kids in the car with me and we always went to either fetch or drop off. So
he just used them to do that. But also, is this Pearls, is it a legit thing, or is it one of those, you know, you pay me this much, I'm getting your driver's license?
So yeah, that was how it was, because I remember there were quite a few of them in Durban. In fact, the driving school that I went with, they also wanted me to, you know, like pay the full package and then I get my license. And I was like, no, it's not gonna happen.
Yeah, I don't want to say something, but let me not. The next one says, my father seems to be like the, fathers are like the teachers, yeah, right? It was pressure, I remember going to my mom crying because of the pressure. So here, maybe one of our listeners, unfortunately, had a father that was not very patient. Can I be completely honest with you? I'm not patient. I can't teach someone how to drive.
Was your father patient with you?
I'm going to get to how I...
Oh, okay, so that's where you're going to finish off with the grand finale.
Then someone says, my driver, it was bad. I used to shout at him if I did something wrong. I guess when someone's on your payroll, you can do that. But yeah. So
we've got another one here. Driving school at university, can't recall the name now, too long ago. Excellent experience.
Okay. So
so that was one good thing from a driving school.
So what's funny is a lot of people don't know this, but I actually do advanced driver training for off-road and motorcycle safety. And I'm happy doing it on that level where you're basically honing in on someone's skill that's already there. But I don't have the patience to start you up and get you driving, if that makes sense.
Okay.
And what's funny is when people hear this, they can't believe this, but my father didn't teach me how to drive. It was my mother.
Okay.
Yes. So, like...
On the Taz.
Yes. Exactly.
Okay.
But what's funny is, I think like all boys, you know, you start itching at around like 14, 15 to start driving. And we had this driveway that was extremely long. And she would allow me to not go on the road, but just to go up and down on this driveway. Just like literally clutch control. That's all you were learning, up and down. And yeah, it was, if I had to say who it was my mother. She was very patient. She would get like very annoyed at me.
But she's also a teacher.
She's a teacher.
So yeah. She has that.
But then again, like I'm saying, it's my mother who taught me how to drive, and then maybe I could then credit my father to say, he shouted me like non-stop. And my father's like, till now, eh? Like, I can be teaching someone a full course on what to do. When I drive home, you tell me, hey, you did this, you did that. And I just sit quiet. Like, there's nothing. There's no reason to fight it. There's no reason to argue. And it's just...
But we love our father.
Of course. Of course we do. And, yeah, so that's my story. And like, when I tell people that my mother took me, they don't believe me. No. I'm sure your father told you, like, no.
So let's have a vote, a poll. Yeah. Listeners, tell us, do you believe Jamil's story or not?
No, genuine, I'm not even lying. Like, I'm being dead serious. It was my mother. She was very, very patient. But what I liked, because we had, like, different vehicles in the family, I didn't learn, like, one car. So one of the vehicles that were in our family at the time was a VW Combi, right? But now listen to me. The gear didn't go into, I think it was second. So now imagine learning to drive a combi that you have to go from first to third. But like, it must be like a quick change, otherwise the car's going to stall. But what that has done is that I can drive any vehicle now.
Now you love to drive automatics.
Yeah, I've done my times there. I've done my time. I used to really like manual, but really there's no reason. There's absolutely no reason. Maybe one of the Porsches or something, I'll, you know, really want to feel it. But honestly, do you enjoy manual?
I do, a lot.
Really? No, yes. I'm over it, yeah? I'm really over it.
The only time is obviously like if you're stuck in traffic, then it's like easier just to lift your foot every 5 seconds.
You live in the heart of Joburg. When are you not in traffic?
No, I'm hardly in traffic. Only when I come up to Pretoria on a Friday evening am I sitting in traffic.
Lucky, I think let's sign us off because this guy is going to make me come to you next week. From us at Bumper to Bumper, thank you for an amazing show, Ziad. I really enjoyed it.
JazakAllah to our listeners for engaging as well, sending us all those lovely messages.
Please view the stories on CII's page. We posted videos from the launch of the Volvo, and I think this is something that's going to be a weekly thing. Get involved, talk to us.
Yeah, I'll post some of the GWM Tank 300 as well. So from us, have a safe week. It's actually storming here in Pretoria. So if you are in the Gauteng area and it is storming, please drive safely. Keep your lights on, keep a safe distance, your seatbelts and everything. Have a safe journey, inshallah. Until next week, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.